remain standing and take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 6 together responsively. Daniel 3, verses 1 through 6. After we get through those six verses, I'll read several other verses to you here in the book of Daniel. Daniel 3, verses 1 through 6. Again, Daniel 3, verses 1 through 6, and we'll read these verses responsively. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship the same hour shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Now turn over to the same chapter, verses 20 through 25, and I'll read these verses to you for time's sake. Verses 20 through 25. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And let's pray. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for your words and, Lord, what they mean to us. Lord, this morning, dozens of people walking these aisles for salvation and lives being changed and we being challenged by the Word of God. And yet we still stand before you needy. Lord, thank you for a man of God. Thank you that it can be said in our city is a man of God. Thank you for our preacher. Now, fill him with your power. May we be attentive to him as he has been to you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be
this evening, my sermon is one of those that would be gathered in life through many years of experience. I call the sermon Production Without Destruction. I hope you'll listen tonight. I have believed what I'm about to preach and teach to you. I believed it all my ministry. I believed it when, in some cases, it was not so popular to say. And I still believe it. And it's just one of those ministry philosophies or principles that I never plan to let go of as long as I'm in my right mind and right with my God. This passage of Scripture, the portion of Scripture that we read from Daniel chapter 3, it's that wonderful story of the three Hebrew boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were captives in Babylon. The evil king over the land of Babylon was a man named Nebuchadnezzar. An image had been set up in his kingdom, and it was required that at a certain time, everyone in the kingdom had to fall down and worship that image. There was a musical summons. When they heard the music, they were to fall down and worship. Now, if you did not fall down and worship, you were to be put into a burning fiery furnace, burn alive. You talk about inhumane punishment. Here's a man who his leadership and his political office had gone to his head. Now he's turned himself into a god, and people had to worship at his command or be put into this burning fiery furnace. Well, the moment came, the musical summons sounded. All in the kingdom fell to the ground to worship except for three boys, three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king was full of rage about this. He said to them, "You've got to do this." And they said, "We can't and we won't. We can only worship our God." The Bible says that this king, he got so mad he couldn't even see straight. Listen to this verse, Daniel 3:19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated." He was so mad that he had them to increase the heat in the furnace 7 times hotter than usual. The king then commands his mightiest men in the army to be the ones to grab these three boys to throw them into the fire. You say, why did he pick the mightiest men in his army? Well, I think he picked these men because they were the best. I think he picked these men because they were the most dependable. I think he picked these men to be the ones to capture and throw the boys in because maybe they were the toughest. And maybe he thought, well, they can take the heat. And the king was in a hurry. The Bible says in verse 22, "Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent," it was urgent. He said, "I want this and I want it now and I've got to have it now. Give me my best men. Grab those boys. We're going to snuff out this rebellion." The Bible says in verse 22, it says, "Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot," remember 7 times hotter than normal, "the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Boy, that statement breaks my heart. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the ones that were going to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. The king took the best men in his kingdom. He had them to be the ones to throw those boys into the furnace. And the Bible says that his best men were slain by the fire. They were burnt up. The king had his best loyal men, and he sacrificed them to get what he wanted. His desire for production was at the cost of their destruction. Just so you know, folks, that is not God's way. As I take that thought and I apply it to us and churches, churches are to be productive and we're to reach the entire world. The Lord even said to us, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full." God wants a church house full. God wants us to reach many. Churches and Christians and ministries are to be productive. But we can have production without the destruction of our people. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." You and I are to be like fruit trees, and we're to be bearing fruit. We're to be reproducing ourselves. We're to get people saved and then teach those people how to get people saved. We're to be like fruit trees. There's a verse, I preached from it sometime last year. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19. Let me read it to you. It says, "When thou shalt besiege a city a long time, in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them." What God is saying is when you take a city captive, don't go out and destroy their fruit trees. You're going to need that fruit. You're going to need the fruit trees. The fruit trees in the Bible so often pictured productive people. We should be careful that we don't destroy the fruit trees, and we should be extra care should be given to them. And just like God said, don't destroy those fruit trees, I think in the church we've got to be very careful that the people that are productive for God, that they don't destroy themselves and that we don't destroy each other. See, we're to be productive for God. We're to be producing, but wait a minute, we're to produce using His methods. And I believe His method is production without destruction. That should be our goal. If you'll listen to me, I'll go into many different little areas. I don't think I'll be long. I think I'll be very down to earth and practical. Let me pastor you in such a way that I just want to protect all of us. We're a productive church, but there's a way to handle being a productive church. And I think this is what God wants. The sermon is called Production Without Destruction. First of all, let me say leaders should have a production without destruction philosophy toward the followers. Every leader here, you need, and so you understand, as pastor, I have approved of you being in your leadership position. And I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to lead this way. This is the way to lead. And to those of you in the congregation, you say, preacher, there's a leader and they don't behave this way. Then they're not behaving right. And I don't condone that. I believe that leaders should have a production without destruction philosophy toward the followers. As leaders, we're to protect our people. Yes, the people are to be used of God, but not abused by you. Yes, we are to be productive. But as a leader, you're not to be destructive upon them while they're busy being productive for God. I've always believed, and I'm glad that I was influenced to believe this way. I believe that we are not to use our people to build our work, but we're to use our work to build our people. If we'll keep that attitude, then we'll treat people the right way. Nobody's disposable. I've actually seen leaders with the attitude that I'll use them and use them and use them and use them up, and then we dispose of them, and then we'll go find somebody else. I don't want to use anybody up. And I know there's no disposable people in the ministry. Let's not see what we can get out of the follower, but let's see what we can put into them. And I teach this all across the country. Those of you that have been selected to teach a Sunday school class, I felt like that was best for you. I thought you would grow thereby. Now, as you grow that class, that is only a byproduct of God growing you. When it's not, the bottom line is not what are we trying to get out of you, it's what are we trying to put in you. You learn more by teaching than by being taught. Now, if you're learning as a leader, you'll become more productive. So, every leader here, leaders should have a production without destruction philosophy toward their followers. Next, then followers. You need to develop a production without destruction toward the leaders. Now I say to all of us, and we all follow at one time or another. You have to remember something. All that follow some leader at whatever level around here, you'll have to understand that your church leaders are human. Many of which, when they were asked to take on their leadership responsibility, were very hesitant. Because they said, preacher, I don't know if I can do it. I'm not sure that I can be what I need to be. And they very graciously took the chance and stepped up. Now, all of you that help to follow a leader, make sure that you're careful to remember they're human. Your leaders need encouragement, too. They need refreshment in their spirit and they need refreshment in their lives. You expect the best from your church leaders, but please don't toss them into the burning, fiery furnace because of your demands upon them. This is a church where leadership is taught a lot. You see it in action. And indeed, we expect the leaders to step up. And indeed, we expect the leaders. Hey, leaders are supposed to be out front. Leaders are supposed to be the point people in going into this battle with the devil. But to all the followers, may I remind you, the leaders are human too. And if you're not careful, your expectation on the leader can be unreasonable, and your demand upon that leader, you forget the devil's after them too. And that they have wives, and they have husbands, and they have children, and they have lives to live, and they're fighting some battles, and they have bills to pay. Sometimes the fellowship just begins to demand so much out of the leadership. It's almost like, well, you get out there and lead, and if we sacrifice you and toss you aside, we can hire somebody else later. Well, I'm sorry. I don't believe that way. I don't believe in the destruction of those that are producing. Not at all. So I say followers should have a production without destruction attitude toward the leaders, and the leaders should have a production without destruction attitude toward the followers. And just so you know, as you look at our church staff, the men that work for me are producers. One of the hard things of doing is hiring across the nation, finding someone that is productive. There's no welfare going on your church staff, I'll guarantee you. They work. Let me say thirdly, let's have a production without destruction attitude in regard to our marriages. I think that every married couple needs to get away and have a little date. Once a week if you can, but every couple of weeks, you need to have a date. Take a break. Go do something. Enjoy your marriage. Spend some time together with just the two of you. Get a babysitter. Get some barbed wire. Get a Doberman. Put the kids in the backyard. Leave them. I know what I'm talking about. Those kids will find their way home. Look, if you're so tired that there's not enough energy for your relationship, ere it be the emotional or the physical part of your relationship, Satan can tempt you and mess up your relationship. Work, 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 work. And folks, you all know I'm for work. But we ought to be productive, but that doesn't mean we have to destroy ourselves. God doesn't want that. I'm in this thing long term. I want to go all the way to the end. I'm trying not to blow out. I want to rust out. I'm more than glad to do that. Listen, your spouse should not be mistreated because of the productivity stress that you face. I want to get something done. I'm going somewhere in life. Boy, I understand all that. But we have to be careful that we have marriages that are productive, but not being destroyed because of it. Folks, serving at the church so much that you destroy your marriage is not good for the church. Did you know that? Did you know that you never go home and you're never with your wife or you're never with your husband and your relationship is waning? You know, if you destroy your marriage, you've not helped the church. Not at all. Not at all. So let's have production without destruction of our marriages. There's some of you, you're good people, but you work 70 and 80 hours a week down at work. And if we ask you, why are you doing it? I say, well, I want to pay the bills. I want to put food on the table. And I want to work hard. But let me tell you something. If you pay all the bills and you lose your wife or you lose your husband, what good was it to pay all the bills? I believe in production, but I believe in production without destruction of our marriages. I believe in having production without destruction of our children. Did you know that your children can serve God with you? You need to be careful. Hey, listen, there's some of you, you teach Sunday school and put your best foot forward to teach Sunday school to somebody else's children, but you never sit down and teach your children anything. What are you doing? Well, I want to be productive and I want to be a great Sunday school teacher. Well, I want you to be a great daddy. And I want you to be a great mama. And some of you will go to Sunday school and you'll have fun with those kids and you'll teach them and you'll train them and then you never have family devotions. It's been a while since I've said it, but my wife and my kids will all testify to you. We had family devotions every day all the way through when they were growing up, and Dad was a Sunday school teacher and Dad was a preacher, but Dad took the time to teach at home too. We might have played some games in Sunday school, but we played some games at home too. Production without destruction. Sure, have fun with the bus kids. But go have some fun with your kids. Be careful that you're not so busy about your place of employment that you don't have any time for your own children. I would rather live in a $50,000 home and have time for my kids than live in a $200,000 home and lose my kids. And again, not someone doing it out of rebellion, but people doing it out of character. They're just not achieving the proper balance in their life. Parents, I'm going to tell you, everybody in here, that you're either a parent or you're a grandparent trying to reel your teenage son, grandson or daughter. Let me give you one piece of advice about some of you and your teenagers. You need to become your teenager's best friend. Because most of you, the struggles you have is with their friends. Give them a best friend that's a mom or a dad. And you'll not have to fight them as much over their other friendships. You say, well, I'd have to go out and shoot some ball with him. That wouldn't hurt you, pudgy. I believe in production. But how about production without destruction of our children? Production without destruction of our marriages. Production without destruction of the followers. And production without destruction of our leaders. I believe in production. But how about this? Well, and I heard somebody say one time, they said, well, I'll let the whole world go to hell before I'll let my kids go. And you might say amen to that. But let me tell you something. We can do both. God commanded that we reach the world, but he commanded that we take care of our own. So I'll let the whole world go to hell. There's some of you never do anything for God because you're so busy taking care of yours. Now you got a problem because God told you to go help reach the world. See, you can do both, or God wouldn't have told us to do both. Hey, let's have production without destruction of the souls of men. This is so simple, but I have to say it. Folks, when you're winning people to Christ, could I recommend that you truly win them to Christ? Don't be in such a hurry. Some are in such a rush to win a certain number to Christ that they're not properly winning the individual. Slow down. Make sure that you have that potential convert's spiritual attention. I call it having a soul talk. It's real. You have their attention. If you're not careful, you're going to be like a Catholic. Here, quick, pray this prayer. Everything will be fine. No, the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You need to slow that thing down. Make sure that they understand what you're saying and get their attention. Do it right. Win every soul as if it were your own son or your own daughter. Let's have production without the destruction of the souls of men. Those of you that do soul winning at this altar, and we know it, we'll watch. Sometimes 10, 20, 30, 40 people will be all over this altar getting born again. And the soul winners, and you might be thinking, I need to hurry. They're coming down to the last song and the invitation in the choir. Let me tell you something. If we got to sing all morning and if we got to sing all night while you win that soul truly to Christ, we'll take all night for it. But it's got to be done right, folks. When people get in such a hurry that they are not careful about the winning of the souls of men, you'll have people joining your church that are not even saved, and that'll mess you up. Production without destruction of the souls of men. Not only that, may I recommend to us tonight, let's have production without the destruction of our church equipment. Now, things are not most important in our church. People are. But God has given us some things. Those things need to be cared for properly. Look, we all know it. You have as many people coming and going in a church as we do. The furniture, the equipment, the things get beat around a little bit. We know that. This is not a church that is only for the rich and the highfalutin. We bring in the poor. We bring in people that are untrained. They don't always know how to care for the things that we have around the church here. But and it's going to suffer a little damage. But I'll tell you something. Let's not unwisely mishandle and mistreat the things that God's given us. bus workers, help me with something. I want you to go out and reach a lot of people. And I want you to bring everybody in that you can. But it will help us if you and the workers will attend to the kids once they arrive here. We have some rules. You're not supposed to flip the bus door open. Just cut them loose. Let them take off. We're to attend to them. We're to watch out for them. Why? We want production. But it doesn't have to be that there's a lot of destruction if we're all just careful to watch out. Maybe for the untrained, I want you to treat them kindly and gently. But we don't want things destroyed. We have for our buses, every bus driver here, we have a thing that's called a trip sheet. You're to fill it out. We're to know if there's a maintenance need. There's to be a walk-around inspection. It's supposed to happen every time a bus is used. We need to use those. You say, well, I want to get out there and reach the souls of men. Before you get out there, bud, fill out your trip sheet so we know that everybody's safe and the bus isn't being abused. Because about the time, and listen to this, you say, I'm just going to get out there and forget about that. Well, about the time you lock up an engine and I got to pay $5,000 or $6,000 to buy a new bus and we can't run a bus for 10 weeks because you were in such a hurry to go reach the world you wouldn't check the oil, then you really haven't been as productive as what you thought, have you? Production without destruction. Thank God for the grounds and how well it's cared for. He said, I want to get out there and I can mow more grass than anybody. Well, just make sure while you're doing it, you're not destroying our blades by mowing the rocks. And make sure again that you attend to the maintenance part of things. There's forms that you're to fill out and there's a way to take care of it. Everybody gets to going so fast. Every time I turn around, there's another great big stain splashed on the carpeting, and I know it's going to happen, but sometimes we just don't care. Did you know somebody has to come clean it? Don't be in such a hurry to succeed that you cause others to fail because of the mess you leave behind. Production without destruction. You say, is it doable? Yes, it's doable. Yes, it is doable. It is doable that we can give thought beyond the moment. Yes, it's doable. Hey, let's have production without the destruction of less productive church members. Let me say it again. Let's have production without the destruction of less productive church members. Folks, so you know, we need everybody. Every pew setter. So all they do is sit in the pew. I know. We need them. We need them. You say, but they don't seem to do anything. God loves them. God saved them. They're a member of our church. That's fine. I love them. I heard a man say, well, if you're not going to win souls, get out of the pew and make room for a soul winner. I don't believe that. If you're not going to win souls, stay right here. Stay right here. If you're not going to get you a bus route, hit the road, Jack. No, that's okay. You don't have to work. You can stay right here if you don't work on a bus route. That's all right. You say, why? Well, if they're here, I get to encourage them to go soul winning. But if they never did, they still need to be trained and loved. And I'm not justifying being a spectator and not a participator. But I'm saying to you that sometimes productive people, they get a little arrogancy about them to the point where that they're doing something and somebody else isn't. So that somebody else just needs to get out of their road, get out of their pew, get out of the parking lot, get out of the church. And I disagree. Did you know pew setters can be transformed? Hey, don't run people off with your out-of-control zeal. I'm glad for you to have zeal, but you be good to people. I call it production without destruction. Hey, let's have production without destruction of the church finances. Hey, and your finances. Folks, you need to understand something. The tithe goes into the local New Testament church. If you're using your tithe and you're spending it on your bus route, you're not handling it the right way. Or on your Sunday school class, say, I'm tithing, using my tithe to take care of my route or my Martinburg Christian Academy bill. All those things are good things, but it's a misappropriation of your tithe. You say, but it's productive. I know, but you're going to destroy yourself financially and you hurt your church that way too. You know, folks, I have never And God helping me that I'll understand always the proper way to lead. You know, I don't come to this church all the time just telling everybody the church is falling apart and we don't have any money and we can't pay the bills. And ladies, take off your wedding rings and cash in your retirement and let's mortgage your home so we can pay for everything. I don't do that. I don't do that. And I don't intend to do that to you. I want you to have a home and I want you to pay your bills and I want you to have a good reputation in the community. Now, but do let me say, there's some of you, you do need to be careful. I've watched people emotionally make a commitment to give something that they really couldn't give. Now, your tithe is commanded by God. It is commanded by God. I'm not releasing you from that responsibility. I can't do that. But I will say there's some of you, you may have to spend a few less bucks on bubble gum on your bus route. Make sure you're making your house payment on time. Production without destruction. I'm for running buses. I believe that right now our church is at maximum capacity on the bus ministry. I've had somebody say to me, they said, let's get some more buses running. I don't think it's wise financially right now. I think there's sometimes what you need to do rather than reaching more bus kids, you need to go out and reach more adults. That can help pay for the buses. And you don't reach them for that purpose, but it is a byproduct of it. I know all sorts of churches out there that are 90% bus kids. But they're not, it's not usually long lived because there's no balance in that. And they are so productive that they're destructive to their future. So I believe in a balance in it. And I know that's hard to swallow, but it's the honest facts. What is it? Let's be productive without being destructive. Hey, let's be productive without being destructive of our church spirit. I thank God for our church spirit. I thank God. I love to watch you sing. And I love to watch you smile. And I love that spirit that permeates this place. Well, I'll tell you all something. Busy people sometimes can forget to be kind. Busy people sometimes can forget to sing. Busy people can forget to greet a visitor. Busy people can get short-tempered. And listen, if you're being so productive and you're so stressed out about all of it that you're snapping at people in the church, and we need to figure out a way to get you less productive so you can be a better Christian. Because productivity does not necessarily make you a good Christian. Busy people can leave out the kindnesses that are just appropriate. The kindnesses of Christianity. Busy people can fail to be gentle and busy people can fail to be patient and busy people can fail to be loving. It's sad, but there are some that should be held back in their productivity because of their inability to control their emotions when they're busy. Hey, if you can be busy and get a lot done and still be gentle and kind and gracious, let's go for it. Let's max you out. But if you can't, then something needs to change because we are to be good to each other. And we are to be kind to each other. I'm a very, very busy man. But I try very hard not to allow my busyness to cause me to be mean to you. And everybody in this church, when you come to my office and you're around me, I'm very kind and I'm very gracious and I'm very busy. Production without destruction of the spirit of the church. Let's have production without the destruction of church unity. You can't have revival when there's disunity. Hey, disunity? What do you mean? Old bus captains who compete against another bus captain in an unhealthy way to the point of destroying unity in the bus ministry. Bus captains, let me tell you something. You're ever out there and you both find the same rider, make sure you're good to each other about it. Really, it's not about who gets to count them as an attendance. It's just getting them to church. That's what the bus ministry's for. But I've seen it. I've seen bus captains get angry with bus captains, and where there was once unity, now there's not because of fussing and fighting over who does that 13-year-old belong to until they get in church and one said, no, you go set with them. No, no, you go ahead. Let's have production without destruction of church unity. I believe that competition can be healthy as long as it's handled properly. And I think there needs to be competition in life. I think it's good. I'm not for a monopoly. I like it when there's competition purifies things. And there's nothing wrong with a little competition. But let me tell you something. Hey, you adult Sunday school teachers, that you are so competitive in spirit, you do it to the point that it's unhealthy and destructive. Now that I think is wrong. I think we have right now 24 adult Sunday school classes in this church. And I'm going to tell you which one is my favorite one. Yours. You know, I love them all. They're all important to me. Hey, adult Sunday school teacher, when somebody doesn't like you, and you will have somebody that doesn't like you, and they want to leave your class, guess what I planned? 23 backups. So they can leave you, but they don't have to leave us. There's some of you, somebody can get upset, and I don't think anybody ought to get upset and mad and be mad at that teacher and have a bad, divisive spirit. But listen, if somebody gets mad and leaves your class, if they stayed in the church, you ought to just say, praise God, look at that. You shouldn't have a vendetta against them and, you're a traitor, you nasty thing. They're not serving you, they're serving Jesus. You remember him? And unless you have nail prints in your hands, I think that if they chose to go to another Sunday school class, they're okay. Production without destruction. Ministry leaders, we've got to learn to be gracious with one another. I think we need to be productive. Listen, if someone is a part of two different ministries, I think we ought to be gracious with one another and try to work with that person so they're able to do both. I have, and this doesn't happen much, but I've had one ministry leader come and tell me that so-and-so from that other ministry just counseled my helper to quit mine and make sure they gave more time to theirs. That doesn't sound like what Jesus would tell somebody. It's not take care of me and phooey on everybody else. Where'd you learn that kind of Christianity? Really want to do the Christian thing, have them quit you. Go help somebody else. You say, well, that doesn't sound very good. I know it doesn't. And this is just as much preaching as if I were preaching against the liquor traffic. These kind of things destroy productive churches such as ours. And I don't want that. I love this church and I love that for which it stands. And I want it to stay strong. Ministry leaders, you need to be gracious with one another. We share workers. Somebody that's in the bus ministry is a nursery worker and they're a children's worker. Okay, good. We need productivity, but let's not destroy the unity of our church because we don't get along. Hey, and I think everybody ought to think their ministry is very, very important. And I don't even mind you saying that I think mine is most important as long as it stops right there with you. I think of the Hearts for Missions ministry. I think we have 4 connection leaders. And so you ladies all know, the Hearts for Mission connection that's most important to me is the one you're in. And if a lady goes from one to another, that's her prerogative. I'm not saying you ought to hop all over the place, but I'm just really glad that you want to help our missionaries. There might be reasons why we do what we do. I'm glad that we have that option available to us. Hey, let's be productive. Without being destructive. Hey, I believe this. I think we ought to be productive without being destructive to our own testimony. Look, folks, our testimonies, that's what people think of us. That's people's perception of us. And you can't always control that, but we ought to do what we can to contribute to them having a good attitude about us. As a soul winner, if you're rejected, could I ask you to leave the door open for the next soul winner? You know what that means? If somebody says to you, I'm not interested, get out of here. You don't have to set their porch on fire. No. Look, they may have rejected you, but ultimately they rejected Jesus. Be kind. Because somebody else may come along in a week or two and be able to win them as long as you have not soiled our church and your testimony so bad that they see you coming and they already dislike the next person coming. I say let's be productive without being destructive of our testimony. Soul winners, don't be rude. Leave the door open for the next person. May I recommend that in this desire to have a good testimony with people, don't fight over the visitors here in the church. We're getting ready to start our fall attendance campaign. Every fall attendance campaign, I got two people in the church mad at each other because they both invited the same person and they both want to claim them. And here you've got this lost person that's a visitor watching two saved Christians arm wrestle. Well, I get to tell them, I get 2 points. If it's that big of a deal, come by my office. I'll give you 3 stars in exchange for the 2 points, okay? Bring your chart. I'll give you 3 stars. We'll give you a candy bar, too. Something that matches your personality. Nerds or something like that. Let's be productive without being destructive to our testimony. Again, I said it earlier, but I'm going to mention it again. The fussing over whose adult Sunday school class they'll go to. And really, if you're a guest here tonight, you say, oh, well, these people are just terrible. This is a preventative maintenance sermon. We don't deal with this sort of thing all day long, every day. Not at all. I just don't want our church to go this direction. The Bible says in honor preferring one another. Bus workers, be considered in the community. Let me recommend to all the bus workers, when you get to someone's house, if there's a sidewalk to their front porch, use the sidewalk. Don't walk through the grass. May I recommend that you not fiddle with the things that belong to them, and you ought not be touching their car, and you be careful, you be considerate. Why? It's our testimony. Bus workers, you don't take flyers out and just toss them to where they're blowing in the wind and littering. That's our testimony. You don't take gospel tracts and put them in inappropriate places where people think that we've been destructive with them. Why? Our testimony. We can be productive, but not in a destructive way. Bus drivers, be careful when you drive. And you do. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. We have great record with our driving. Great record. We give a little funny award away at our bus banquet every year called the Jehu Award, because the Bible says Jehu in the Old Testament drove furiously. And we'll give a Jehu Award as a joke, but the truth of the matter is we can hardly ever find anybody that's really done any destruction or damage. Maybe a little scratch on a bumper here or a clip in a mailbox there. This year I don't think we could even find anybody that had an accident. And thank God for that. But let me tell you something. Bus drivers, be considerate while you're driving. There is an ever so slight chance, since your bus is as big as it is and it's painted red, white, and blue, and it says Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, Pastor Jeff Owens, that somebody might be able to trace you to us. You're not going to slip away without being seen. You say, well, I want to get out there and pick as many of them up as I can. Leave a little earlier and salvage our testimony instead of being running behind and breaking the speed limit. And you don't. But I'm telling you, production without destruction, it's possible. Teen soul winners, you be careful that you don't misbehave while you're out soul winning. You're out soul winning. You're representing our church. And let me say over and over again, I get reports from the community. They say your young people are some of the finest, most respectful young people we've ever met. They handle themselves well. But don't you be the one that mars that reputation. You're not out on teenage soul winning to play and play pranks and to goof off and do wrong things. Hey, our testimony. What do we talk about? Folks, I don't want us recruiting people from other independent fundamental Baptist churches. Now, if somebody doesn't go to the right kind of a church, we need to get them saved and we need to get them into church. And I don't consider it proselyting, getting them from the wrong kind of churches. But at the other independent fundamental Baptist churches, we don't need them transferring from their church to ours or our church to theirs. We need to attend to ours and they to theirs. And I believe that's called ethics. Ethics. I believe in ethics. And whether you say, well, they don't practice that toward us, I don't care what everybody else in the world does. I care what we do. When we have people from other independent fundamental Baptist churches that come and visit our church, we don't follow up on them. We don't go after them. We don't try to talk them into coming to our church. I say, go on back to yours. Why, that's ethical. I wish people would treat me that way. That's ethical. That's how it's supposed to be. What is that? That's your testimony. Production without destruction. I'm almost finished. Let me give you one more. I want to recommend to all of us that we be productive without the destruction of your health. You need to work hard at staying healthy. Get your sleep. And some of you are right now. Best couple hours you get is on Sunday in church. What know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Our bodies, it's the tool that God uses. God dwells within our body. God doesn't live here in this building we call the church house. God lives in us. We need to make sure that we don't destroy our bodies in an effort to be productive. When you're busy, Mrs. Owens and I were talking today, and I told her, I said, honey, it is just amazing. It is amazing in my life, the way I work and the way I have. And I've worked like this for a long, long time. I'm just hardly ever sick. Now, I get sick. I don't let it slow me down, but I get sick here and there. But basically, God has just somehow helped me. But I'll tell you this. I know how to take vitamins. I know how to get the amount of sleep that I need. I know that when I begin to get a little ill, I know the things that I need to do to begin to correct it. And I'm always watching for that. You say, why? I want to be the one to preach here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I know churches that have waited 2 and 3 years in my schedule for me to get there and preach. I do not want to have to call them and say, I'm sick and I can't come. I feel so disappointed. And maybe I've done that once in all these years where I've had to call because I was sick and I couldn't make it. And I'm not bragging on my health. It's a mercy and the grace of God. But I want to keep myself healthy so I can keep doing what I'm doing. I want that. I want to keep serving God. Again, you say, well, some of you have a kamikaze attitude about your health. I'm going to crash and burn. That doesn't make you a hero in my eyes, nor does it make you a hero in God's eyes. You get more done by sticking with it for a long time. I remember I ran a marathon once, 21 miles. I watched some young men take off in that marathon, and I mean, they come out of that gate sprinting like they were running a quarter mile race. And I thought, goodness, what a pace. I said, there's no way I can keep up with that. About 3 miles up the road, they're all on the side of the road tossing their cookies. And they didn't make it. I didn't win the race. I came in third place, but I made it all the way to the end. Unless you and I do everything we can to take these old bodies and get everything out of them all the way to the end. I don't think you're not a hero because you destroy your body. Your body belongs to God. Now, some of you, there's no threat of that. You're going to have to move a little quicker. You're going to get ran over by a turtle. Guard your health so you can constantly be counted on. Now, I believe this, and you all know how I feel about this. Because someone's sick, it doesn't mean the judgment of God's on them or anything like that. And there are times when God allows us to become sick or have ailments, and it is God's choice. I don't think we ought to be down on each other about that at all. I think that is between them and God. But I do tell you this, when we do have control over it and we don't control what we do to our bodies and we hurt our service to God because of it, I think that's a sin against God and a sin against the body. I think that the winter's coming. You bus workers, wear a coat. Keep yourself healthy. Guard yourself. Be careful. Maybe you ought to back off on the number of sodas you drink and drink some water and get some vitamins in your system and dare to try some vegetables and some fruit and keep yourself healthy. Again, your body's not really yours. It's been bought with a price. Therefore, you are to glorify God in your body. I'm done. I hope somehow you see the balance of what I want our church to achieve. There are churches out there that virtually do nothing because they're afraid if they become productive, There'll be a bunch of destruction. That is destruction within itself. Then there are churches out there that in order to be productive, they just about destroy everything and everybody. I don't want that either. I want to be right in the middle where we are productive without the destruction of the things that are valuable to God. That's how God wants it. I read this story when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Every time I read it, and I noticed that king took his best men to throw those boys into that furnace, and his very best men were burnt to death because he wanted something. I've often thought, what a waste. Let's not waste the best on the altar of productivity. Let's keep them around so they can produce for a long time to come. That's you and me. I believe this is God's way in our church. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I want to welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight and you need the altar, there might be a mom, a dad, who knows, somebody that might need the altar about this issue of being productive, but not to the point of being destructive of your life, your ministry, the lives and the spirits of the people around you. It's something we all need to work on. I know this sermon's good for me. I hope it's good for you. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet.